Well, as I was preparing for this message today, I was thinking about all the stuff that's going on in our world today. And as we all know, I think this is probably the craziest year I've ever had in my life as far as what's going on around us. And now it's spilling over all the way from February, all the way now into the holiday season, to the point where it's amazing what's been happening. The news is filled with, you know, all kinds of disaster and negativity and fear. There's corruption we're dealing with, and disease and pandemics and viruses. And now, like I said, now it's gotten to the point of even in some states, they're canceling holidays. They're, they've told people cancel Thanksgiving, and now they're saying cancel Christmas. And, there's just a lot of craziness going on in our world. So here's the question that I was thinking about was, what do we talk about when we speak to other people? I mean, what comes out of our mouth when we say, have you heard the news? Have you heard? And most people talk about what they've heard from some source, and I guess it depends on, you know, what you listen to. It might be something we watched, something we read, something we saw, something we heard. And somehow a report came to us about what's going on. And as I've just mentioned, a lot of times it's not good news. Because the truth is, as we know, as far as the news goes, disaster sells. Tragedy sells. Even heartbreak sells. But if we're a Christian, something has happened in our life. We've had an encounter at some point in our life with the most wonderful, the most loving, the most forgiving, the most awesome being in all creation, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that encounter, that relationship, has changed our lives dramatically for all eternity. And if that's the case, which I'm sure it is for everybody here, I hope everyone here, and I believe hopefully also for at least most of you, if not all of you listening online, if that's the case, the message that we should be sharing with the world should be totally different than the message that we hear on the nightly news. We should be bringing a good report wherever we go. A message of hope, a message of peace, a message of love. Each one of us, whether we realize it or not, we are spokesmen, spokeswomen, spokespeople for God. Every day, everywhere, everything that we do, we represent or represent God because we are His ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that God has prepared certain things in advance for us to do. Certain situations that we come across, certain encounters, opportunities where we can make a difference in someone's life. Sometimes it almost seems, and I know this has happened to me, sometimes it almost seems like God just drops somebody in our lap who's ready to hear about Jesus. Or He puts us in a situation where we see it's going to be easy to bring that out, if we're looking at least. So if we are living our life as a Christian, if we're living our life that way, people should pick up on it. Like the old Police song, if you remember that, the group The Police, every breath you take, every move you make, I'll be watching you. Remember that? I'll be watching you. Well, some people that are watching you, some will admire you. And they'll want to seek you out. They want to talk to you. And then there's others who will criticize you. And they'll make fun of you, and they may even condemn you, and maybe even hate you because of your faith. Remember what John 15:19 says. It says, if you belong to this world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to this world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. John 15:18, right before it says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. That's Jesus speaking. So he knows already, he already knew this, that some of the people in this world, they're not going to want to hear the message. Some people, they do not want to be confronted by God because they don't want to be confronted with their sin, with their life, with their rebellion, with the way they, you know, they're living. And so they don't want to hear about God, and they don't like it that you represent God. But if we continue to bring a good report and speak out about the truth when we have an opportunity, I'm not talking about being a nut for Christ. I'm just talking about being a faithful ambassador. There's a really good chance that one day some of those people are going to recognize that they have a need. And I bet everybody in here, I know for me it's happened many times, where somebody who didn't want anything to do with me or prayer or Jesus or anything, one day they said, hey, would you mind praying for me? All of a sudden they realize, like, hey, something's happening with somebody I care about, or my situation, or, you know, their life or whatever it is. And so they recognize their need finally, and then they want to come and get to know Jesus a little bit. And that's an opportunity. That's that situation, one of those situations that I was talking about. And then we'll be able to share with them at that time in the right way. We don't beat them over the head with it. But we'll be able to share with them this valuable gift that we have. And hopefully pray for them and you know, to be blessed or to be taken, whatever, to meet that need. And you never know, from that encounter, it may progress further to the point where eventually they're able to receive the promise of God, the salvation. There's a story in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, that illustrates the importance of the message that we bring to people, the report that we bring to people. That's what I'm really talking about today, about the report that we bring, the message that, what is our life display? What are our words and our actions, our life, our character? What is that displaying to other people? And in fact, I've entitled this message, Have You Heard the News? And it's sort of like, that's coming from us, and hopefully what the news that we say is the news that we should be presenting as Christians. So here in this Numbers chapter 13, verse 26, it starts on, chapter 13, verse 1. And it starts the story when the spies are, you know, one of the leaders from each tribe are going to be sent out to check out the land of Canaan, the promised land. So it says in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them up from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. So they go out there. I'm not going to get into read the whole thing, but I want you to hear now the report that comes back a little bit later, starting in verse 26. And they report on their exploration, what they found. So they came back, in verse 26, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. And here's the fruit. And it was luscious, it was big, it was like growing like crazy. But the people who live there, here's where they start to give their opinions that don't line up with what God wants them to do. Because they say, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. In other words, giant men, like Goliath kind of people. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. And then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up. Now, Caleb now is sold out for God. And he's bringing a good report. He's speaking the message that God would want him to speak. He is an ambassador that's doing his job. And he says, Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Because that's what God told him to do. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. And we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. See, they were scared. And so they wanted to forget about what God told them, forget about all the miracles that they've been seeing, one after the other, and they just start to get filled with fear. And so how did the people respond to this report? Well, in Numbers chapter 14, starting in verse 1, it says, that night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt, hoy vey, you know, or in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? They're already dead in their mind. We're going to die. We're going to go into them. We're all going to get killed. It's going to be terrible. It's never going to work. They're not listening to God or the people that are trying to share God's message. Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Wow, this went from fear to just now rebellion pretty quick. So obviously these people decided to listen to the bad report, and they ended up in fear, hopelessness, and rebellion. Because remember, God had already told them to go. So then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. And Joshua, remember Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, because we're His people, He will lead us into that land. A land flowing with milk and honey, and He will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, because we will devour them. But the Lord is with us, so do not be afraid of them. And it's just like today. We are bombarded with bad reports all around us. And the world that we live in seems to be a hopeless mess filled with giants that are ready to devour us at any moment. But we need to put our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has promised to always be with us. We can't let fear rule our lives. I'm not saying not to, you know, do what we're supposed to do, take precautions or whatever, but we cannot let fear rule our lives. This is the message that God has given to us, and it's also the message that we are supposed to share with others. Every one of us, every day in our dealings with people are bringing a report. And people should know us as a Christian, and then they should be hearing a report that has been brought along in the light of what we know as a Christian through our faith. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we bringing a good report or are we bringing a bad report? Through our words, actions, our lifestyles, we're proclaiming loud and clear to those around us whether it's good or it's bad to be a Christian. Is it beneficial to be a Christian? If we think so, then we need to let people know that's what we think, so that they can learn to think that. Whether Christianity, are we sharing whether Christianity has the answers that they're seeking, or should they get their way to live through the world? Are we giving them that the impression that God is for us or that God is against us? Some people think something bad happens to them right away. God hates me. Or, I must be terrible. There's no hope for me. That's not the truth. The truth is that God loves us. And He is there for us. We've all heard the terms frozen, chosen, and holy rollers, and right-wing fundamentalists, and religious fanatics, and hypocrites, and phony, Christians. That's the report that goes out to the world every day about us as Christians. This is how we're seen from a variety of venues. The world system tries to portray the life of a Christian as narrow-minded, boring, dull, deprived, wimpy, foolish. Sometimes now they want to call us terrorists. And anything else bad that they can think of. But we know that's a false report. That's a false report. But you know what? It still goes out every day. Goes out through the media, sometimes through, unfortunately, even through people that call themselves Christians. Christians in name only. And there's plenty of them in our country. They think just because they believe there is a God that they're a Christian. Well, the devil believes there's a God because there is a God. So just because you believe there is a God does not make you a Christian. A Christian is a follower of Christ. Someone who has believed and received Christ into their life. So this is what we're up against. TV, movies, college professors, radio, magazines, politicians, business leaders that are pouring out a continuous barrage or an onslaught of anti-Christian messages. And so it's our job to stand up and to speak the truth and reveal what a Christian is like by the way we live and by our words. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. So that's telling me two things there. Probably a lot more than that if I really wanted to get into it, but two right now. One is that as a Christian, we should have hope. Always. We should be a people of hope, and the hope that does not disappoint. Our hope is a confident expectation of things to come. That's different than wishing. We have a hope, it's just we're just looking towards what God's going to be doing for us. And also, we should always be sharing that, because we're always supposed to be ready to give a reason why. Why we have that hope. Why is it that you're always happy? Why do you always have a positive attitude? Well, why do you always seem like things go... I'll tell you why. Because I've given my life over to Christ. Because I'm trying to live right. However you want to say it. I'm trying to follow God. I try to follow the Word of God, and it just works for me. I've changed my life. I used to be this, but now I'm doing this. And, wow, it's really changed my life. It's made... however you say it, it comes out of you. It's not a It's not some type of thing. I can't tell you how to witness. I can't tell you how to speak your good report. But if you have God in your life, you've got a good report. And you got to find a way to share that good report with the world. Regular basis. Not once in your life. Maybe once a day, possibly. It might be not. I mean, it may not be every day. But some days you might be able to talk to a lot of people. And you might just throw in some little thing, just little nuggets. Sort of going fishing in a way, you know? And you might just say, you know, yeah, we had, you know, Sunday at church, you just throw that out there. Oh, you go to church? Or, well, I was praying the other day. Oh, you pray? Yeah, I pray all the time. You need prayer? Or someone tells you how bad they're feeling, or something's going on in their marriage, or something's happening with their kids, or they lost their job, or they don't. Well, hey, I'll pray for you. And then they, okay, that'd be nice. They don't really think much of it, but, and then when you put your hand on them and say, okay, in the name of Jesus, then they think a lot of it. But I'll tell you what, sometimes that really moves people. I have never, ever had anybody in my life yet who has said, get off me. And I've prayed for people hundreds of times like that. And by the time it's done, they always thank me. Sometimes the thanks is, you know, not real heartfelt, but they're polite about it. But most of the time, it's thank you so much. Thank you for that, you know? And I think it makes them think. And a lot of times those people maybe had a Christian upbringing. And maybe they just haven't prayed in years and years, or no one's prayed for them, and it sort of brings it all right back. You never know. That may be the thing that brings them back to God again. A simple prayer. Just because you spoke the word, you gave the message, you gave the good report. When the Holy Spirit is speaking through us, when we're praying for people, and hopefully that's, you know, the way it should be. You know, I mean, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. So if we are led by the Spirit of God, then as we're praying, that means that God is, through His Spirit, speaking through us. We're speaking, you know, hopefully as God. We may not feel like we have the perfect words, and we don't. I don't have the perfect words. Nobody has the perfect words. But we do have the perfect Spirit within us. And we try as best as we can to convey what God would have us want to say. So as we're led by the Spirit then, and we pray, instead of just our own self doing it, and sometimes we just do it, you know, and that's okay. And then we just want to trust that God is going to move through us by His Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is working through us, man, then you'll see that word will hit the mark. Something will happen. Something will happen to them. Whether, you know, it's an answer to their prayer right then, or just a new little light goes off that, oh, God does care about me. Or this person cares about me. Or maybe I can find God again. Or maybe God is real. Who knows what goes on in their mind or in their life or in their heart. That's not up to us to worry about. Our job is just to be the ambassador. We've been called to be ambassadors, to speak for our God as though He were speaking through us. That's what that word said, as though He were speaking through us. Where's that at? Yeah, I'll get to that. Oh, as though God were making His appeal through us. That's what it was. Okay. All we have to do a lot of times is just speak about what we know to be true. So we have, like I said, we have to speak. Our messages can be something as simple as what we know to be true. And what that means, of course, is the Word of God. But it also can be what God has done in our life. How God has touched us. And because God doesn't want us to be Xerox Christian. We're not carbon copy Christians. We're not all the same. Every one of us are different. Every single one of us. And each one of us have been individually touched by God in a different way, at a different time, in a different place. And that way, each one of us has our own unique way to touch other people that nobody else can. You might think like, well, my life, you know, I was a really bad guy. I don't have the finesse. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have this or that. Well, good. That's because God's got people that are going to be there just for you. And then maybe it's the exact opposite. Somebody else who was a scholar and, you know, like, somebody who's a nerd, you know, basically, you know, just all into all the technique or theology or business or whatever. Somebody who's just really into all the detail kind of stuff. And there's people that need to hear from that person. And then there's the businessman, or there's the homemaker, or there's the office person, or there's whatever. It doesn't matter. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever your way is, whatever character you have, whatever job you have, whatever education you have, whatever race what you are, whatever sex you are, whatever age you are, none of those things eliminate you. Every one of those, in fact, makes you the perfect person to speak to somebody else that needs to hear from you. Everyone, every one of us, we're uniquely, fearfully, wonderfully, beautifully made. Nobody is a mistake. You were never a mistake. And nobody can deny your personal testimony. It's real. It happened to you. And when people see the passion and the conviction that you have and the truth of God in our life, it's very convincing. When we get excited about what God has done, when we get excited about what He's doing, that excitement is contagious. And that excitement will draw people to us so that we can point to Him. That's what it's all about. You know, we can show them then what God can do in their life. Remember, we're ambassadors. The Holy Spirit will help us speak in those situations as though God were making His appeal through us. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors as though God were making His appeal through us. We literally become His voice. Our job is to reveal God's will. When the United States sends somebody over to another country, that ambassador, if he does his job right, reveals the will of the United States and how we would like to proceed with them. What we can offer them and what we expect from them. And it's the same for God. And through us, He speaks where we can offer salvation, we can offer forgiveness, but what we expect from them then is belief and repentance. And we just convey the message. It's just God speaking through us and then them accepting. And we do that not only through what we say, but we share that, we get them to see God through who we are. You know, a good diagnosis will show somebody that you're a good doctor. And a good movie is a good witness to a good director. And a good sculpture or painting or song is a good witness to a good artist. And a life that shows Christ shows a good Christian. Matthew 7:20 says, "Thus by their fruit you will recognize them." The people should see us as a Christian. They should recognize our Christianity as an outpouring of our, you know, coming out of us as God's Spirit working through us, and that's our fruit. And then they should recognize us. Because God, He's alive in us. He's working in us. And God has put that ability in us to be, you know, to bring that good report at just the right time, at just the right place. He sets things in motion. Tells us in His Word that He determined the times that we live in, the places where we should live. Because there's going to be somebody there where you are at that time. Not every day, not every minute of your life, but I mean throughout your life there's going to be a lot of instances where you're going to cross paths. Some people call it divine appointments. Bam. I'm supposed to speak right then, and that's the time when that person, we may never see him again. That's where they get to hear about God. And if we don't have a report of God's character in our life, then what we're doing is we're living a life of emptiness and depression and quiet desperation. If there's nothing in our life that we have to share about God, then where are we at? We should all have something to share. Don't think you don't have something to share, because you do. And the loudest and the clearest and the most eloquent or beautiful testimony of the gospel is seeing a Christian that is filled with the joy of the Lord in their life. And just an abundance of life overflowing out of us. Not somebody who's cowering in fear, not somebody who's, rebellious or afraid. Like, talking back, remember those, the Israelites. They were afraid, they were rebellious, they were fearful, they were, they just didn't want to do what God wanted them to do. That's not a testimony of God. Our testimony is a powerful weapon. It's something that God can use. Because when He touched you and when you got saved, there's something that happened that day. That was a magical, miraculous, however you want to say, moment in history in your life. It should be, that should be like where your life separates. Like, that was the old, this is the new. You became a new creation. It's like an explosion. Like, something happened that day and you should have a clear understanding of something that changed in your life, where you need to like think about your time when you got saved. And if you can't remember when you got saved or know how you got saved, I think you need to speak to somebody about maybe getting some prayer, because maybe you've just acknowledged the reality of God, accepted the truth of God, knew that it was a good thing, but never really made that solid commitment to where your life changed. And believe me, I've spoken to many people like that. People living their lives as a Christian, but not having the power, not having the joy, not having the hope, the love, the peace, all those things that the blessings that come along with it. Trying to live as a Christian, but not having all the benefits that come with it. And that's a hard, hard life, to try to live like a Christian and not having the Holy Spirit helping you, not having all the good stuff that goes with it. It makes people want to give up. And so, if that's you, and you feel like, man, I don't think it changed my life at all, well, then I think maybe you need to get prayer again. If it's what you want, I think maybe that's time to say, you know what? I think I need to get prayer. And maybe just rededicate my life. Just look at it that way. I want to rededicate my life to God, because I think maybe something didn't work out right one way or another. I'm not sure what. It could be a million different reasons. But why take a chance? Make sure Make sure. It doesn't hurt. Maybe we may have to humble ourselves maybe a little bit and say, you know, I don't know if I thought I was doing everything right, but I just don't feel that. I need to maybe take another step. And I just want to rededicate myself to God. And, you know, you can do that yourself, too. You can just do that before God. But sometimes it helps us to go to somebody that we are close to or somebody that we trust or somebody, you know, that we respect and go to them and say, you know what, I just want to rededicate my life to God and make sure I got this right. And our testimony, when we share it, it not only blesses other people, but every time we share our testimony, it should strengthen us too. You know that? As we say that again, because we're reminded. You know, I think of when David one time was depressed, and it says that he went out and he remembered. He sort of thought through the things that God, and he strengthened himself. He encouraged himself. That's how he did it. He went through and he thought about all the things that God had done. And what better thing has God done in your life than save you? So, I mean, yeah, we can think of all the other things too, all the different times God has blessed us, and all the we can look at all the way God has things God has given us and done for us, but there's nothing greater that he's done for us than our salvation. So when we share that, that should not only, as we share that and as the Holy Spirit is bringing that up out of us and reminding us again, that should touch somebody else's life like that, and it should also stir us again. It's a weapon in our arsenal, if you want to think of it in that way. I mean, to us, it's a blessing, but when we use it as a way to share the gospel, it can be like a powerful weapon that along with the Word of God has the ability to overcome the lies and the deceptions of the devil and actually help to rescue people out of his clutches. Because we're in a fight. There's a war. There's a spiritual war that's going on in the whole world. And the fight, fortunately for us, it's fixed. In fact, not only is the story already written, but we've already won. The victory is already ours. You know, it's not something that might happen. It's something that's already happened. It's already been declared by God that the victory is ours. And God cannot lie. So when he says that it's done, it's won, the victory is ours, it's done. We just have to grasp it, right? That's our job. We just have to grasp it and then share it. Because other people need that too. We're the overcomers. We're the ones that have overcome sin and death because of what Jesus did for us. That's why we took communion today. So how do we overcome? It says in the Word, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, of our testimony. The fact that Jesus died for us, his blood shed for us, gave us the forgiveness. But it says also by the word of our testimony. That's how we, you know, that's how we overcome. That testimony is strong, it's powerful. And they're tied up together. Without the blood, there wouldn't be anything to testify about. If Jesus hadn't died on that cross and shed his blood for us, there wouldn't be anything to testify about. And the work of Jesus is completed. That's why the victory is done. It's over. He finished that job by himself. But our work is still going on. Our testimony. Our report. Our message. The good report that we have. The good news. The message of the cross that we've been called by God to share, to go and make disciples of all nations, to always be ready at every, you know, to share the message of hope when people ask why, to always be ready to give that reason for the hope that's in us, to always make the most of every opportunity. All those things, all throughout the Scriptures, it's in there telling us to do our part. That's our job. That's our calling as Christians. This is our commission. We have been commissioned by Christ. We're all ministers of the gospel, every one of us. We've been all called to be ambassadors for Christ as though God Himself were speaking through us. And now more than ever, people need to hear some good news. Don't they? There's enough bad news out there. We need to share that news, the news that God is alive, that God loves, and that He loves the individual that you're speaking to. He loves you. Hopefully you know that, that God loves you. God is crazy about you. He loves you. He loves people, and He'll be there. He said He'll be there. I'll be there. I will never leave you or forsake you. God is a provider. He's a protector. He's a giver. He's so many good things. He's an amazing God. He's an awesome God. He's bigger than any issue, any problem we will ever face. And so He wants us to share that report. So, will you do it? Will you do it? Can you say to yourself right now, I'll do it. I'll do it. I will spread that message. I will spread a good report. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Father, I want to thank You. I want to thank You for all that You have done for us, Lord God. We thank You for our salvation. We thank You that You have blessed us in so many ways, that You have provided for us. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that You put some of You inside of us, that we're not alone, that You do live with us, that You work in us, that You work through us. We thank You that we can be a blessing to other people, that You've given us the privilege, the honor of being able to share a message of love, of hope, of forgiveness, of salvation with other people. Lord, I pray that we would see this not as a burden, but as a blessing, as an opportunity to be that one who shares with others. Lord, help us to, every one of us, to be excited, looking for that opportunity, looking to be able to share that good report, that good news, the good news of salvation. Lord, I pray right now, Father, that You would just work in each one of our hearts and that message would be bubbling up, that it would be filled with life and love, and that it would go out into this world, and that we would change the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All righty. Well, I hope you guys have a great day today. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for being with us online. Good to have you all. Thank you very much. Bye.